Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the article by Stedding Ehrenborg et al. Titled, Determinants of Kinetic Energy of Blood Flow in the Four-Chambered Heart in Athletes and Sedentary Controls. This article published online October 23, 2015. Joining me today are Associate Editor Fabio Recchia, Lead Author Katarina Stedding Ehrenborg, and Content Expert Martin Ugander. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. We usually define cardiac function based on parameters such as preload, afterload, contractility, and the pressure and flow generated in the vascular system. An interesting component that is little known and therefore almost never mentioned is the kinetic energy of intracardiac blood during the two phases of cardiac cycle. This is the energy associated to the complex blood flow patterns occurring inside the atrial and ventricular chambers in diastole and systole, which may importantly affect the overall cardiac pump function. In this study, Stedding Ehrenborg and collaborators utilized three-dimensional magnetic resonance imaging to quantify and define the determinants of kinetic energy in atrial and ventricular chambers of healthy volunteers compared to elite endurance athletes. Katarina, what are the key findings of your study? Can you help us to better understand the physiological determinants of cardiac function?
Well, thank you for that introduction, Fabio. Well, as you said, we wanted to investigate what determines kinetic energy of the intracardiac blood flow. And what we found was that for the left ventricle, the diastolic kinetic energy is dependent on left ventricular mass, whereas for the right ventricle, kinetic energy is determined by right ventricular and diastolic volume. So this really reflects the differences in the filling mechanisms between the two chambers and the characteristics of the left ventricle as a pressure pump and the right ventricle as a volume pump. And to briefly answer your question, can this be used to better understand what determines cardiac function? I believe that using this phase contrast MRI method will increase our understanding of normal function and improve diagnosis. But we need to be humble to the fact that this is very new and we don't really understand what kinetic energy means, if it's good to have high kinetic energy or if it's bad to have high kinetic energy. And much more work needs to be done in the area to fully understand this.
Thank you. Martin, you want to add your comments or anything in particular that you found insightful in the study that you want to highlight?
Absolutely. Something that I've been thinking about a lot when it comes to this study is sort of how to explain it to a colleague who isn't involved in the MRI field. And maybe you could answer this best, Katarina, but in normal clinical cardiology, we think a lot in terms of pressure and volume, but the term kinetic energy doesn't come up very often. Could you try to help the general reader understand what exactly is kinetic energy in this setting?
That is the question. I myself has really struggled to understand. It's not really intuitive. But I'll try to explain it, and you can add to this explanation at any time. Kinetic energy is a measure of the amount of work that is directly involved in moving the blood inside the chambers and the atrium. So it's linked to the physical concept inertia that describes the maintenance of a forward velocity of a medium, for example, blood, after a force has been applied to it. So really it relates to the momentum of blood and explains why blood continues to flow out of the heart even after the ventricle has stopped to contract. So during late ventricular systole, you still have blood flow going out, and that is due to the momentum and the kinetic energy.
So just to put this in perspective, the left ventricle performs work during systole, and then now you're measuring the energy of work during diastole in the kinetic energy of the blood. How does the magnitude of these two energies compare?
Looking at the total work from the heart used to deliver a pressurized volume of blood into the circulation, you can divide that into stroke work and kinetic energy, where the stroke work is approximately 99% of the left ventricular work and leaving less than 1% to kinetic energy. So kinetic energy is really, really small at rest.
So considering that it's that small, why is it even interesting? Is it important and interesting at all, this little almost negligible amount of energy involved in cardiac pumping?
Well, that is a difficult question to answer since we don't really know what kinetic energy means, but the way to keep your blood flowing in the heart is important. And we've seen in a paper that we published previously from our group using an exercise model that the kinetic energy increases during exercise up to 3% for left ventricle, and for the right ventricle, it goes from 3% of the total work at rest up to 24% during exercise. So it becomes even more important during exercise. And I think that is really fascinating, especially when it comes to athletes that have this amazing ability to deliver a large volume of blood with every heartbeat, and we don't really understand how. And I think part of that answer might lie in the increased kinetic energy of the blood.
I mean, that sounds super exciting to me. My immediate thought is, okay, get those athletes exercising in the MR scanner. Is that in the pipeline?
That is in the pipeline. It's something we really, really would like to do. I could say doing exercise in an MR scanner in itself is really difficult, and doing this four-dimensional phase contrast imaging is also difficult in itself, and combining them two is even more difficult, but that is something I will attempt to do.
I have a question about the energy saving in all this. If a heart is optimally adapted to minimize this kinetic energy or the kinetic energy expenditure, at least during diastole, the percent of total energy saving if you consider the entire cardiac cycle and so the entire cycle of cardiac work?
I don't know that we know the answer to that, but just trying to do sort of a back of the envelope calculation, if it's only 1% of the total work being performed by the heart, then an optimization can't make things a whole lot better. That said, the way I see it is why this is interesting is because this measurement of the diastolic kinetic energy is something that is a consequence of the efficiency of filling during diastole. And it can also be related to and influenced by the systolic contractile function. These factors remain to be explored, but this is something that could help us develop new diagnostic measures that could detect disease and differentiate it from health. And that's sort of where I see this going, more so than in a particular optimization of the energy expenditure of the heart.
So the significance would be more in the field of pathophysiology rather than the physiology itself in this case, right? So this would help to better understand whether there is a diastolic dysfunction. Also, I mean, looking at that also from this point of view, I was wondering if in physiology itself there are real advantages of having this kinetic energy optimization, especially in these elite athletes. So I was wondering what would be the take-home message for physiology itself.
I think that it might mostly be related to that which Katarina touched upon earlier, is the increase in kinetic energy during diastole in the right heart. And that was increasing to about 25% of the total energy of right heart pumping during exercise. So in the normal physiology of exercise, there is certainly a sizable room for differences that would be of a magnitude that would be relevant for normal physiology, considering the size of the effects that occur during exercise. So during normal exercise physiology, yes, then that's where it sort of happens. And I think it's related to these percentages of the total work that Katarina was mentioning earlier.
So Katarina, you want to add some final remarks about the importance, how useful this measurement would be to better understand the physiology of cardiac cycle. I guess that this is an important point for any physiologist involved in this particular field.
Yes, this paper provides a lot of normal data on kinetic energy, and we have also looked at vortex formation, which is when blood flows into the ventricle and forms a vortex, and we quantified how much energy is inside this vortex, and we can also use this technique to visualize the vortex and actually see the blood swirling inside the ventricle. And I think this is really maybe a bit more intuitive that you can see the vortex and look at it. And I think that will also be something that will become useful in understanding physiology and differences between normal and athletes and, for example, patients with heart failure who also have really large heart volumes but not healthy. I think that is also something that will contribute to understanding of physiology and pathophysiology in the future.
Katarina, would you foresee that this could be of use in differentiating the athlete's heart from the enlarged heart in heart failure as well?
Yes, looking at heart failure compared to athlete's heart, there is a paper that was published from our group that actually came out today online. And there are differences in the kinetic energy, but what's interesting is kinetic energy is high in both groups. So you can't use kinetic energy as just one absolute value and that will tell you whether something is normal or pathological. You need to look at the patterns and we need to know more. But I think this is a promising way to study both differences between athlete's heart and heart failure and also hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and athlete's heart, for example, which is a question that is quite often asked for the clinician to differentiate between.
Well, we certainly have an exciting field with a lot of unmet questions and these new methodologies to address them. So I, for one, am excited at the developments that we can foresee will be coming over the next year or so.
So thank you, Martin, and thank you, Katarina, for this insightful discussion. Cara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.